Globe podcast. Today is a special episode. We have our first ever guest on our podcast, so it's not just me talking aimlessly to you. Today we have Kevin Kloon, who is the operations director over at Tech Please. Tech Please is actually based in New Jersey. So those of you that are listening that are from the Cleveland area, you might not be able to use their services right now, but one day you may need it. We actually partnered with them a couple years ago, and we have been working with a lot of their customers and clients to help get them into websites and maybe take care of some of the design and marketing needs that they have. So Kevin has over a decade of experience in B2B marketing. He's been involved in several web startups in the early 2000s, and he solely owns his own digital marketing firm from 2008 to 2016. After that, it merged with Tech Please, where he currently works. Like I said, he's the operations director over there, and they were recently named to the MSP 501, which is the top 501 business IT providers in the world. That's pretty damn sweet. So if you guys,
actually, Chris, yeah. Last year we were in a million way tie for number 502. So yeah, it's nice to finally crack into the top 501.
Yeah, that's humongous. That's really cool. Hopefully one day we'll be a top 501 design and marketing company in the world. So that is really great. If you guys want to learn more about TechPlease and what they do, you can go to techplease.com and read all about them there. So, Kevin, welcome aboard.
Thank you. Pleasure.
So today we're going to talk about B2B cold email prospecting. And I feel like this is something that you have a really, really good grasp on. I am always stunned whenever we talk about your like cold email numbers and the rate that you can actually get to people on it, because I feel like anytime I send larger efforts in B2B cold emailing, they ultimately I feel go unnoticed. So I'm also going to sit back and learn from this, and so for those of you that are listening, grab a pen, grab a paper, because Kevin is really knowledgeable in this, and I'm looking forward to it. So why don't you give us a bit of a high level look as to what your process looks like, and then we can dive into some of the details so people can have some takeaways.
Okay. So I'll start with a bit of a disclaimer. And that would be that I think that this method and the overall method that we've come up with and that we use for Tech Please, it works best with commoditized business services. And from that, I mean, there are a certain number of services that almost every business needs and uses. It's not a matter of if they need it, it's just a matter of who they use. So IT is definitely one of them. Design services is definitely one of them. You could also say insurance, payroll, etc. What we're trying to do right now is get in front of somebody when they're in a transition period. It's not a matter of, hey, this is a brand new category and we're trying to sell you something. They know that they need this. They know that they already use it. There is a chance that, they're looking for it right now. And that's really what we're trying to do, is get to them at that very moment. Sure. So for anyone that's, in some sort of category creating or maybe SaaS industry, this might not work. Right. If you're trying to kind of fit into somebody's business process and not, if you're not a major vertical, this might not work. So everyone can put their pitchforks away or just direct them at Chris.
I know they're going to see cold email prospecting and they're going to hate me, but how do you get, so you get your list, how do you get, I know back, it feels like ages ago, you could just buy some list, but how do you go about getting something that's actually quality that's not going to get you in trouble?
Yeah, so it's a good question. So in the industry, you used to essentially buy aged data. Mm-hmm. So there would be, let's say, an opt-in form on a lead gen site. And this, so people put in their information, let's say they're selling that immediately for $15, right? And then as time passes, now suddenly, you know, 6 months, 9 months go by, all of these contacts get bundled and then put on these spreadsheets and they're sold for pennies. But they've already been hit hundreds of times. And, you know, by then, it's totally beat to dead. I mean, there's really nothing you can do with that. Sure. If that's what you're buying, you've already failed. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. And the reason is, you know, it's not accurate data. It has a really high hard bounce rate. And with that, you know, it's a tightrope walk. You're either going to get booted from your platform for just basically they're treating you as spam at that point.
Right.
The incoming mail hosts that you're sending to, you know, they're going to see it as spam. If they're getting a ton of hits and all they're seeing is, you know, just hard bounces, then you're pretty much toast at that point. So, what you should look for and what we use, this is kind of like the next generation of this type of data, is data that's generated by AI software and, you know, online tools. Basically, and if you want to do an exercise, we could say there is a company, address, phone, first name, last name, title, and email address. Mm-hmm. So Chris, think of in your head right now and go through that list and tell me where each one of those exists on the internet.
Google.
Right, for Duo. For Duo. So I'll tell you your website and your LinkedIn already has 90% of that data, right?
Right.
So really then what you're left with is probably your email address. Mm-hmm. And the easiest way to get that normally is through some kind of naming convention. So
yeah,
let's say Susie in HR is posting on Craigslist to look for new employees. And she puts SusieW@duodesigndev.com, you know, in her listing. Well, then suddenly your organization now has a known naming convention and anyone's information or via, gotcha, you know, email address can be generated.
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah.
This is what these tools look to do. So it basically just pieces together all of this information. You could call it research-based information, and it tends to be the most accurate. Mm-hmm. So, and if you think about on, you know, with opt-in data, when have you ever put in your actual information into, you know, let's say you wanted to get a free Inc. magazine.
Oh, yeah, never.
Right. Maybe your address, and then everything else is just going to be fake, right? So,
right.
And that's normally what you end up with is somewhere that somebody opted in that has like a third party disclosure. And now with the times, you know, that we're and the GDPR and everything, it's just, this is probably the best way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I think privacy is a huge concern to people. Mm-hmm. But also
it is, but they're airing out all of this information on the web. So,
yeah,
you know,
they like to say it's a huge concern. And right. Then the second there's like a free t-shirt on the line, they'll throw every bit of information out there.
Exactly.
When it comes for those that have never had to deal with being seen as spam before, I can tell you from personal experience, it sucks. My old hosting account that I used to use, when we created a new environment on there, they actually put us on an IP address that was considered spam before we got there. And that was awesome. And I won't name names as to who that company is, but I fought, literally, Duo, we fought internally for months and months and months. And honestly, I think it wound up being a year and a half process of trying to clear that IP address, and they would not give us a new server instance, which was awful. So all of our emails were bouncing back immediately because everyone thought we were spam, or we would go into spam folders immediately, and it was terrible. So yeah, you want to be careful about trying to get, you know, about your cold email. It is pretty good, because if it's not, getting out of that rut is going to take you probably a year to a year and a half of trying to get back in good graces of email spam and all that.
Exactly.
Stuff,
so. And say you're, you know, Joe in marketing that's fairly low on the totem pole, and you work for an organization with 100 users, and now suddenly your clever email just got your entire company and your entire company's domain blocked or on the blacklist, it's not going to go over well.
Yeah. Right. And it's not just one blacklist, for those that, that don't know. It is,
the blacklist.
I would say, dozens. It's like there's dozens, if not maybe even a hundred or so of different of these different places that put together these blacklists, and they all share their data. So if you get on one, you pretty much get on all of them. And it's not like you can just write support at I'm on an email blacklist.com. There, no one's going to listen to you. So so let's talk. Okay, so you have data, but I'm not firing up, you know, Microsoft Outlook or you know, going into Gmail and individually sending these, am I?
No, you're going to use a platform. So what I would recommend is to probably start with a free platform. You know, overall, you need to start small with this. So I would start with something like Agile CRM, HubSpot, you know, someone that has, and basically what you would search for is marketing automation platform. So, you know, look for something that has limited capital output, something that you can start for free, either a trial. Now, obviously, there will be a cost associated with it if you're succeeding. So if you start to send more emails, if you're starting to expand your campaigns, if you're bringing on different users, so you will eventually pay for the service. I don't want people to think it's always free, but those are, you know, that means it's working, right? So, but don't go just jump in and start throwing your money around until you've kind of seen the platform, played around with it. Look for something that has kind of a visual builder that's really helpful for the automation. And, you know, I would say first and foremost, don't over automate. Some of these platforms have just so many things you can do with them. And you're, the first thing you want to do is you get in there and you just start putting stuff together, you know, just, and you're just spinning this web of just complication. You know, I would say first and foremost, don't do that. Start with a really basic email, start with a really basic process, and then just slowly, slowly build onto it, you know, as you get data, as you get responses. What we do, and what I think, you know, if you already are already doing this, some tips would be, you know, scheduling based on when your target is probably most active in their inbox. This would be midweek for us, before 9 a.m. So if you're targeting executives, you know, they're usually the first ones in the door. And the first thing they do when they sit down is look at their inbox. You don't want to send it at, you know, let's say 5 p.m. No one's going to read it. And then by the time they get in the next day, it's already buried, right? So you want to kind of be sitting there right on top. And, you know, subject matters, subject lines matter. But, you know, we kind of use those more as kind of our open rate optimization tools, right? So, like, we play around with subjects the most. We don't really try to be clever. We just, you know, just try to say the same thing 20 different times. Normally, it's like IT provider question mark. You know, you would be surprised at how often that works. And, you know, variations of that.
Very good. Yeah, I think something important to remember, and this goes to, this even goes further, but if you're running, if you're in charge of a company, whether it be in the marketing perspective or you run your own company, whatever it is, like, always having that human element matters. So that's why, your point to don't over automate, because you do start to sound like a robot, but at the same time, you also get almost a little too disconnected from it. And you expect this tool to do all the work for you. And while these tools can do incredible things, I think you want to make sure that you're just kind of keeping an eye on things to make sure that nothing's going wrong. And you know, I think for us, You know, we run some specific messages, you know, around holidays, or if we're fundraising, usually every year we try to do, you know, some sort of, you know, fundraising type of effort. And so if we do that, we want to make sure that those messages get out to both current clients, potentially new clients. So I just think keeping that human side of it is really important, and don't over rely on the automation.
Exactly. Yeah. And really, the email content itself, mm-hmm. try to be as natural as possible. If you want to do kind of a little exercise there, like I would just start by sending them from your inbox, you know, take 10 and send 10 different emails, and see what and if you get a response on each one.
Sure.
And then sure. kind of use that on the platform. I actually think that that's kind of how we concocted, you know, some of our emails now. And you would be surprised at really what we send. I mean, it is as basic as basic gets. You know, we try to play by the rules.
Right.
And like I said, you know, we're trying to get these people at the right time, you know, when they're in a transition. And so really all they need to know is that, hey, you know, we exist. you're looking for this currently. You know, we are an IT provider. We're in your area. You know, you can throw in maybe a one sentence brag, and then you end on a question. You say, are you currently looking?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's really how we get, you know, most of the responses. And you'd be surprised.
Right. I think, again, it's staying human. It's staying simple. I think there's some people, I've literally built HTML emails for clients that have been so far over the top. I mean, we would have 30 or 40 hours in an email build because they wanted every itty bitty little like bell and whistle possible. But what was happening is they were just masking the actual content. Mm-hmm. And so what winds up happening too is people need to remember the open rate on your smartphones is going to be extraordinarily high. And for us, at least, it is by far the biggest open rate and the biggest device that gets opened is via cell phone. And so people need to keep that in mind. If you throw all these crazy HTML, you know, all this code in there, and you put all these super awesome graphics, which we love graphics, we're designers. But you have to keep in mind that it needs to load quickly, and people need to be able to understand what they're getting into right away, or else, yeah, I think all the work that you've done with your data, all the work that you've done with your automation platform is just going to go straight down the tube.
Yeah. Yeah. And we always include plain text and an HTML version on the email.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's good for spam filters, you know. Basically, the end user, the recipient, will have settings on their side that will, say, I want to see this version when possible. And, mm-hmm. you know, you can actually tell by when you get a response what version they received and responded to. And I can tell you that a lot of times it's the plain text. And one of the reasons that you want to kind of keep the links natural is for that reason. So in plain text, you know, there's no anchor text. So you can't say, you can't put any text over a link. It will be the link as bare as you can see it with as many, characters and parameters mm-hmm. as exist on it. So, we don't link in the emails. We link in the signature, in the email signature, and that's it.
Okay.
And you would be amazed. I mean, our last email we sent out, you know, of the open rate, you know, of the opens, we got about a 10% click-through rate on the email signature. And that's just, you know, sheer curiosity. I mean, we're not shoving links down people's throats. We're not asking them to click it.
Flashing button.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's a plain text email with, you know, techplease.com in the email signature.
Wow. Okay. Very good. I think, being genuine. Don't overdo it. Don't try to be clever with things. A lot of people want to be clever or include, like, even if it's graphic, like, when you're putting a graphic in an email, the biggest thing I can say is it necessary?
Right.
And does it actually do anything to help your goal? And your goal is probably to get somebody to click a link. Mm-hmm. And so if that image does nothing toward that goal, then I would always lean towards keeping it out. You know, logos are great. Stuff like that's great. If the image is something that directly goes with the email and you think it's going to increase the amount of clicks that you get, by all means, put it in there. But let's, you know, your real estate is limited. So let's try to remember that in the back of our heads. So you've gone through a lot. You've got your email all set up, ready to go. You send it out. Now what?
So what we typically do is, you know, I essentially set up a command station at my desk. I know when these emails are going out. So I make sure I have a glass of water, a cup of coffee. I'm ready to go. I respond to every email that we get. Most of them are negative responses. They're, you know, sorry, we already have someone. Sure. We're not looking.
Okay.
Sometimes they just say no thanks. And what we do, and I should say this, that negative responses are far better than no response at all. You know, and we do have days, some days where it's very little feedback. And that's really hard to judge. And it's really hard to kind of take anything from that. But what we find the most is that, you know, the more negative responses you get, the closer you are to a positive response.
It's another sales opportunity.
Exactly. Yeah. So there will be, I would say, between 3 and 4 very common negative responses that you'll get, you know, like I was kind of running through, it'll be, we already have someone, or, you know, we don't have the need right now, but we'll keep your information. And there's different forms of it. So we actually came up with kind of like rebuttals for each one. I would say less of rebuttal and more of just some kind of deliverable. So you're not really saying like, oh yeah, but this, you're more saying, oh, okay, that's your position. So here, this will be helpful for you. And we actually host all of those on our blog. And the reason that we do that, right. So, and there's actually a good amount of people that will say, okay, you know, thanks for the information. They'll click through. But then we can retarget to them if they click on our blog. So that's, you know, a huge benefit of providing that, would be to then you can kind of keep targeting those people through some of your other platforms, your other mediums that you're putting out. And so it doesn't just stop there.
Right. And I think, And while this podcast might be, you know, it might be winding down now, when we talk about B2B email prospecting, there are so many other things. Like Kevin said, he's getting these people over to his blog, because once he gets into the blog, then he can do some, some remarketing to them and kind of keep their attention in other places, so that he just kind of leaves behind these little nuggets. I love the idea that, your negative responses are better than no responses, because that gives you an opportunity to, okay, cool. And here's this link over to, you know, whatever this is. And maybe they do know, or maybe they don't know before they click that link, but you're going to kind of get them into more of your marketing efforts. And I think, can you talk about, as we wrap up, can you talk about timing? Does this stuff happen suddenly? Is it quick, or what, how does it look typically?
So I would say people tend to prioritize things by convenience, right? So, what you really want for, you know, your prospect is to show up in front of them at a time when they're actually looking for this, right? We've mentioned that before, but I guess let's give an example of you have a nonprofit, and let's say there was a board meeting and someone, you know, on the board mentions, okay, you know, we're having issues with our donation page, and, you know, we think that it's actually hurting our conversion of donations. You know, there's something screwy going on. We think that the site's broken. We need someone to look into it, right? But let's say that this issue has been going on for a while. And now 2 days later, you have Chris from Duo that chimes in. Hey, we're a local provider, and, you know, we just are throwing our name out there and seeing if you have a need. Chances are, you know, while that executive director of the nonprofit wasn't sitting there vigorously Googling, you know, designers, now suddenly, you know, you're being prioritized by convenience. So they will say, oh, right, yes, right. Okay. You know, we were just talking about this. This is a problem, and I need someone to look into it. Probably that, you know, underfunded, possibly nonprofit has a bad user experience on their site. It's a much larger project than you expected. And that's why we don't really stick our nose up at any opportunity either. They always lead, you know, sometimes you get silly questions and, you know, or what seems like something very small. But it always has a way of paying off. So, and I should say that a lot of these positive responses that you get, like I'm thinking of it now, I don't know that we've ever gotten a positive response before 10 a.m. And yet we send our emails at 8 a.m. So no one responds immediately, ever. The negative responses come immediately. Like, you will get bombarded with negative responses. but it'll be someone that chimes in at 2 p.m., you know, the next week on a Wednesday, or, you know, and so if you're sending every week, now you're suddenly getting this pipeline built up and you're getting these, you know, responses. So if you're sending your first email and you're getting a ton of negative responses and it's crickets, you know, keep sending, right? So, you know, stay on track, start sending every week. We don't ever email twice in 1 week, you know, to one contact. So sure. We'll typically space them at least 7 days apart. But, you know, persistence is key.
Yeah. And I think persistence is key. Whether it be B2B, you know, cold email prospecting, persistence is key on social media marketing. It's key for blogging. This stuff all takes time. You know, we always get clients that come to us that want to be on the first page of Google, like, you know, tomorrow. Every bit of this takes time. You're in it for the long game, not the short game. And the long game is ultimately gonna set you up better long term. And I think B2B cold emailing can set you up wonderfully because it can turn, yeah, like you said, someone who may not be, you know, the world's most perfect client into a big driver for you. And I think you have to keep those things in mind, and you need to just always, at least this is the opinion of us at Duo, is I would rather be consistently sending them emails and getting crickets, even if they're not responding, and then they all of a sudden, yeah, go to look for a design company, and they go, man, there's someone, and then boom, we're sitting in there, you know, 20 times over, you know, 6 months or whatever the time might be, in their inbox directly. And so the hope is, yeah, one of those times they can click over to our blog and maybe we can start remarketing to them. But yeah, I think this is great. I think, you know, I certainly learned a lot. I hope some other people learned a lot too. Thank you again for coming on, Kevin. We appreciate it. We love having our first guest on the podcast. And hopefully we'll get to do this a lot more.
Great. Yeah. So, and if anybody has any questions or wants me to take a look at, you know, what they're doing and give some advice, you know, I don't, we don't offer this as a service, but you know, just being a marketing guy and a you know, a bit of a dork, I'd love to kind of talk about it. So you can give me an email, kevinc@techpolice.com. Just don't put that on the internet. You know, I don't want to wind up on a list.
Yep, you're on a list. Boom, right. Done. All right, Kevin, it was great talking to you, and we will touch base soon.
All right, great. Thank you, Chris. All right,
talk to you guys later. See ya.